In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning. This is Pastor Wade Coolwind, along with Senior Pastor Ken Keltner here, and excited to be here on this this morning, and you on your way to work or coming back from work or arising to meet the new day. We're delighted to come into your home, into your car, and so thank you so much for tuning in. We want to encourage you, if you don't have a local church that you're attending that's preaching the gospel, consider coming to Brookside Baptist Church. We're at 4470 Pilgrim Road here in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Some services that are coming up. We're looking forward to Sunday with the Maranatha Baptist University soccer team singing group, and they call themselves the Tonal Defenders. And they're going to be accompanied by Vice President of the University, Matt Davis, who will be speaking in both morning services at 9 and 10:15. I want to encourage you to come back in the evening, 9 o'clock. My wife's favorite preacher is going to be preaching. That's me. And I'm going to be on Psalm 33, verses 12 through 22. So these are all planned with you in mind. I believe that if you come, you'll find a warm greeting and a blessing from the Lord.
Well, Pastor Wade, I'm glad to know you are your wife's favorite preacher. You know, you heard about
she says I am.
Yeah, you heard about the preacher who, I saw this cartoon and it showed the preacher coming home, and he said, "Honey, I think my messages will be accepted much better if you're not on the second row going, huh, really?" So we're glad Cindy doesn't do that. No. You know, that she's totally there behind you.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining us again as we're in Joshua chapter 22. If you've stayed with us, you know that there is potential civil war getting ready to take place between the 2.5 tribes east of the Jordan River and the 9.5 tribes west of the Jordan River. Manasseh, or half the tribe of Manasseh, the Gadites and the Reubenites, they went over and helped the 9.5 tribes take the land of Canaan. They're on their way back. They have goods. They're going to go back to their families. I'm sure it's been a long time they've been away, and they want to decide they're going to build an altar to be a witness that, hey, we're all related here. We love God, want to serve him. The 9.5 tribes did not take it that way when they heard it. Sent a delegation to say, what have you done? Don't you remember what happened at Peor, what happened to Achan? When we disobeyed God, we paid for it. And those 2.5 tribes come back and go, hey, no, you got us wrong. That's not what our intention is. We want our children on both sides to know that we're together. They looked at the Jordan River a little bit like a Berlin Wall. In verse 25, the 2.5 tribes are saying to these 9.5 tribes, the representatives there, they're saying, the Lord's made the Jordan a border between you and us, your children, or you children of Reuben and children of Gad. You have no part in the Lord, so your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing the Lord. So they're saying, hey, it's going to be, you're going to say, hey, we don't really fear the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves. This is why we built the altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice. The motive was clear here. This altar, we want it to be a replica, but not a working altar. Mm-hmm. We don't want to rebel against the Lord. They built the altar as a witness to the next generation, a witness that the Lord, he's God. God is our God too. And so this altar was to be a witness between the East and the West that we absolutely are one. And yet there is a historical footnote here that we should add. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 25 and 26 is going to tell us that these 2.5 tribes sinned against God, and they started serving other gods in the land. Pastor Wade, why don't you read those two verses for us?
And when they were unfaithful to the God of their fathers and played the harlot after the gods of the people of the land whom the God had destroyed before them, so the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, that is, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He carried the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into captivity. He took them to Hala, Habor, Hara, and the river of Gozan in his day.
You know, the generations that follow us, what a challenge. And someone has said what we do in moderation, our children and our grandchildren can do in excess. And what a sad footnote this is, because in Joshua, in what we're reading here, they had determined, no, we are going to serve the Lord our God. He is our God. We're not going to put any other gods ahead of our God. And just in a matter of a couple of generations, we see that God brings the king of Assyria to enact his judgment and his punishment on these people for not putting him first. You know, Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, prayed this: Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you've given to me. You say, why? Why would he pray that? He says that they may be one as we are one. Can I tell you, friends, unity is the cry of the New Testament. And it has been a major attack upon the people of God by Satan himself, using our own fleshly desires, our own wickedness at times, to just be disunified with one another. I mean, one of the six, yea, seven things God says he hates is really this disunity, those that sow discord among the brethren. Unity is the cry of the New Testament. And here in our text, the Eastern tribes were so desiring that they not be forgotten or be thought of as like second-rate Christians. They wanted the generations that followed to know that those on the west side of the river were their kin and vice versa. They wanted to always be recognized as Yahweh's people. So here we have it. East and west become one. Both sides have spoken here, and we come to verses 30 and 31, and it gives us the result. Hey, there is one solution. We are going to be one in mind, one in mission, one in our message. Pastor Wade, why don't you read verses 30 and 31 here of Joshua 22.
Now when Phinehas, the priest, and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the divisions of Israel who were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord.
You know, they called that altar, they gave it a name, witness. That's what it says in verse 34, for it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. You know, Pastor Wade, truth always unifies the people of God. Yes. That's what should be unifying to us. Someone says, well, do we sacrifice truth to be unified? No.
No.
No, truth is what unifies us. Apart from truth, there can be no unity. Phinehas says he commends the eastern tribes here. He praises God, for God's presence protects from his judgment. And friends, we just have celebrated the Good Friday service, the resurrection of Christ on Easter. But friends, this the cross, that's exactly what happened here at the cross. And what's behind the doctrine that we know of is the doctrine of propitiation. How much more clearly can we know God is for us than when he shields us from his own wrath by placing us under the shelter of his Son there on the cross? And so we finish chapter 22, and they're all together. They're one. The high priest, he is satisfied. The sons of Israel are satisfied. and the tribes reaffirm their intention of the altar, it is just merely a witness that God is the God that we love and serve, that Yahweh is God. There is no more crucial confession in all of the New Testament than that Jesus is Lord. It stands at the center of the New Testament at our faith. So be right, be one. We are people quick to criticize, unfortunately, and complain, and much too slow to affirm and acknowledge the validity of our differences while maintaining the strength of our unity.
Mm-hmm.
Unity. That's what God desires of us. Not uniformity, but mm-hmm. unity. Mm-hmm. Oneness, not sameness. We don't have to look alike. We don't even have to think alike. We don't even have to root for the same teams necessarily. The body is made up of different parts. He doesn't pray to his Father for unanimity, but he prays for oneness, for unity. We can disagree. Every vote doesn't have to be 100%, but we must be a unit. Our eyes must be on the same goal, our hearts in the same place, our commitment at the same level, mm-hmm. and we must love one another. Listen, Jesus prayed that we would support and encourage and love and forgive each other until we are perfected into a unit. My, what a unit of believers, what they could do for the kingdom of God. Truth is the key. Unity is the goal. G. Campbell Morgan leaves us with a few major lessons that I'd like to leave you with here from Joshua 22. The first is this: it's commendable to be zealous for the purity of the faith. Compromise of truth is always costly. Secondly, it's wrong to judge people's motives on the basis of circumstantial evidence. It's important to get all the facts. Remember, he said there's always two sides to every story. Thirdly, frank and open discussion will often clear the air and bring about reconciliation. And friends, reconciliation is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, G. Campbell Morgan wrote, if wrongly accused, always remember the words of Solomon in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Solomon, writing in Proverbs 29, verse 22 and 23, says, an angry and a furious man abounds in his transgressions. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain their honor, their integrity. Dear friends, as we've closed this 22nd chapter of Joshua, may we go forth as the tribes of Israel as a witness together that the Lord is God. Friends, our churches that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we're not in competition with one another. We are unified with that clear message. And may all of us, as God's people, say amen. Let's move forward and let's be focused on the task at hand and the mission in which the Lord Jesus Christ has left for all of us. Well, join us again and we'll pick up in Joshua chapter 23 as he begins his farewell address. Have a great day and may the Lord bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.